welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, and before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
All right, well, let's bounce back to last week here briefly. So it wasn't the best start for you guys, but you guys were able to still put together a pretty dominant performance, especially there in the second half. So just finding things to work on and a win. I know we've talked about that before, but what'd you find and how'd you feel about the performance looking back on it?
I'm pleased with our kids and their effort. There were a lot of positives to take away, and naturally when we're dealing with high school boys, teenage high school boys, that there's always going to be things to work on, but that's why we practice.
Yeah, and then there in the second half especially, you guys were kind of able to impose your will, and you limited them to somewhere around 40 yards in the second half, I think, and very little after that first drive. So just kind of what'd you see from your defense there in the second half and offense being able to help them out?
Significantly better eye discipline. Again, like I mentioned, We were physical. We were willing to be physical be disciplined with regard to where our eyes should be.
So, yeah, now you get to move into a crosstown matchup here. And in these type of matchups, obviously, with it being two teams in town, there's a lot of distractions that come along with that. So just how do you keep the kids focused headed into a matchup like this?
It's a little bit like homecoming. Just with the opportunity for distraction. But, you know, with regard to big games and whether games are big or not, I think one of the things I've learned is to go the places to go to the places where we want to go. Every game's big. So, you know, we hope to go out and perform well and execute well.
So, yeah, you guys are going up against a pretty dynamic rushing attack. They've been able to run for somewhere around 300 yards a game. So just kind of what challenges do their running attack bring?
They're physical. Their offensive staff does a heck of a job. They're talented. So, yeah, they pretty much every criteria you would look for in a successful rushing attack that they bring to the table.
Yeah, and then defensive side of the ball, they've kind of had an up-and-down year, but they've showed some promise on that side. So just kind of what's sticking out for you?
Again, well coached. Their defensive staff does a really nice job. They're very sound. So it'll definitely be a challenge.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
All right. That was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, I know we've got a lot to talk about this week that's probably more exciting than anything else, but we do have to kind of look back real briefly just to recap last week's win against Sedalia Smith Cotton, that being 56-14. Kind of sounds like it was a game maybe of two halves. So I'll ask you if the first half was a little sluggish and the second half was better, what was the difference between the two halves for the Jays?
I think really focus. They kind of took it for granted that last week was going to be a win, which I think everybody around it knew that it was going to be. But the performance in the first half just wasn't very good. They busted some coverages against a Smith Cotton team that doesn't really love to throw the football, but they were able to get receivers open on multiple different occasions and were able to put together a couple of good drives. And yeah, it was 27-14 at halftime, and kind of looked at the scoreboard and said, well, this is not what I expected.
Right.
And then second half was a lot more of what I think the team expected and I expected. They came out and they basically shut Smith Cotton down offensively after the first drive, which their first drive got down to, I think, the 12-yard line. But that was really because of Jeff City penalties. They had a 15-yarder on the kickoff, had a 15-yarder defensive pass interference. I guess that was 12-yarder because it was at the 25, half the distance, whatever. And then they had an unnecessary roughness right before that. So there was three big penalties that allowed them to get down the field. But Jeff City came up with a fourth down stop on the first possession of the second half to keep that lead at 13 points, and then they just ran away with it afterwards. Bradarius Lewis had two big touchdown runs. Zach Barnes had a big touchdown run. So they really imposed their will physically in the second half, and I think that's what they wanted to do headed in.
So it improves the Jays to 2-2 overall, 1-1 in the CMAC play. It's another conference game coming up this week, and it's a big conference game just from the standpoint of it's Capital City Week. So I think this is one of those, obviously, you know, both schools, I'm sure, have had this circled on the calendar since the day the schedule came out. It's one they've been looking forward to. So when they get together tonight at 7 o'clock at Atkins Stadium, I'm sure everybody should probably be ready to go from the get-go.
Yeah, this should be a fun one tonight, that's for sure. It's going to be a heavy hitting, about two run-heavy attacks, two physical defenses, and it's really going to be a game that comes down to the trench play, you would have to think. We'll get into Jeff City's side of that a little bit more later, but yeah, it's going to be a fun one, especially with the added Capital City got their first win in the series last year. That really puts a lot more intrigue into this, and I'm expecting a pretty good crowd tomorrow night. It seems like Capital City's been bringing out really good crowds so far this year. Jeff City's been doing about the same, so it should be a fun environment and kind of everything you want in a high school game.
You mentioned that first win last year. You know, that's kind of what you want to see kind of in a new fledgling series when you do have, you know, a school district that splits sometimes. A lot of times you'll see the established program just keeps having success after success after success. And sometimes you'll see, you know, when that happens in some of the other, you know, bigger population centers around the state, you'll see it become a thing where somebody jumps out to like a 10-0 advantage before the other school kind of starts to hit its stride. So I think it was probably great for the series last year to get that win because, you know, Jays lead the all-time series 2-1, but it's like now it's kind of feels like, okay, you know, both teams have had success in it and kind of gets you to the point where it could be like anybody's game in any given year.
Yeah, and especially this year, I think this is about a 50-50 as a matchup gets. The two teams really like to do the same things. They have the same strengths. They have the same weaknesses. So when it comes down to something like that, it's truly a toss-up game. And kind of bouncing off your point a little bit, I think it definitely helps Jeff City a little bit that they got humbled last year in this matchup.
Okay.
Because it wasn't like a one or two plays didn't go their way and they lost that game.
Right.
It was kind of a resounding Capital City win, especially in the second half. They held Jefferson City without a first down in the second half and just wore them down and were able to kind of just dominate. And that was very humbling for Jeff City because they were extremely confident going into that game last year. So I think it's kind of a different mentality headed into this one.
We'll dive into some of the nuts and bolts here in just a second, but I think one of the things that I feel like going into it is I'd be surprised if this was anything but a game that, this game's going to feature fireworks, I think. From the standpoint of, you look at it, you know, Jeff City comes in averaging 32, and that's, you know, 32 a game, that's pretty good, except for the fact that you look at, you know, Cap City, and they're averaging 40 points a game. So it's like, I think we're going to have to see at some point one of the defenses get a key stop to kind of keep this thing from kind of getting out of control, because I do feel like you've got two offenses that has shown that they can score this year.
Yeah, and the defense that plays better is going to be the team that wins this game. I don't think that's a secret at all. And it's going to come down to limiting explosive plays. Obviously, Jalen Thomas for Capital City has been incredible through his first 1.5 seasons in high school. He's tallied up over 600 yards or maybe even 700 yards this year. And already got a boatload of touchdowns. So that's obviously focal point number one for Jefferson City's defense, is not necessarily trying to stop him, because I don't know if that's possible at this point, but trying to contain him and kind of keep him bundled in, make sure he doesn't get a lot of big runs.
So is it just that simple? Is it going to be just containment, pretty much, do you think? I mean, or do you think we might see, you know, an odd scheme that maybe we haven't seen? Or is it just as simple as going, okay, we just got to be sound and kind of try to keep them cooped in as much as we can?
Yeah, that's definitely the notion that I've got from the team. And you might see a little bit of a different defensive approach than what we've seen for Jeff City so far through this season. Capital City sees a lot of 8-9-person boxes against them. And,
sure.
And Jeff City probably won't play their base defense. They probably will do what Capital City is used to seeing. And yeah, just making sure he doesn't get to the outside and have guys able to rally to the football quickly, I think, is the biggest key for them defensively. And yeah, I mean, like I said, you can't really stop him, but just making sure he doesn't rip off 15, 20, 25, 30-yard runs consistently, making him kind of have that toll on him of the 3-4-yard runs where you have the big defensive
sure.
lineman falling on you and stuff like that. Just kind of try and frustrate him, essentially. Just don't let the athlete be the athlete and run all over the place.
So if they do that, and they do a good job of that, who else might be someone else that might rise up that might also cause problems for him, that you look at and go, okay, you know what, we got a key on him, but we can't also forget about this player?
Yeah, I mean, I think the next focal point would be Philip Richardson. He's kind of second on the team in carries. And then Nehemiah Hamilton's chipped in some too. But I would look out for Evan Schaefer, honestly, because one of the big plays that changed the momentum last year was kind of just a read option where Hayden Carroll was able to keep a read option and went untouched for about a 45-yard touchdown to flip the momentum in that game, and they were never able to get it back. And something that was on film from last week in the Smith-Cotton game is one of their touchdowns came on a read option, and that same exact thing. Jeff City's defense kind of got caught sleeping a little bit. He ran untouched for about an 18-yard touchdown. Nobody was even near him. Didn't look like they saw it. So that's something that Jeff City has on film that they're probably able to address this week, but he's kind of a wild card that I would look out for that could play a really big factor in this game for Capital City.
So if they're able to slow that offense down and keep it within striking distance, what do the Jays have to do in terms of offensively in order to kind of maybe keep pace with a team like that, or just to build on what they've been doing recently, because they have been putting up some points this year?
See, I definitely think they have to learn from what went wrong in last year's matchup, and in that second half where Jeff City wasn't able to get a first down, Capital City dominated the clock. They had long, sustained drives of 10 to 15 plays, and it kept Jeff City's offense on the sideline. I think Jeff City is going to want to do exactly what Capital City did last year to them.
Okay.
Capital City can't score if they don't have the ball. Obviously, sure. That's not 100% true. You can score on defense, right. But the theory is it's much harder for them to score if they don't have the football. So if you have the football and you kind of wear them out defensively, some of those guys that play two ways won't be as ready to go on offense, and it just makes your job that much easier. And kind of the big thing is there's not going to be many possessions in this game.
Okay.
That was something that Jeff City saw last year. It was mentioned, Wells said, they only ran 39 offensive plays in the entire game last year. So that's the big thing. If you're able to control time of possession in a matchup between two run-heavy systems like this, you're just so much further ahead than what you would be in a normal game. And, yeah, I think whoever wins time of possession, I think will probably come out on top.
So do you think then that maybe puts an added layer of pressure on the Jays from the standpoint of, if you're going to have fewer plays, that means you're going to have fewer chances to score. It means you're going to have to be really opportunistic when, you know, situations present themselves. So is that the sort of thing where you feel like, okay, this might be kind of it sounds weird from a standpoint of like, hey, we've been scoring just fine. But when you do limit it to like that, and if you say, yeah, you're only going to get 40 plays, well, all of a sudden then you're like, well, you can't score every other play, you know, so it's going to be kind of inherent upon you to take advantage of situations. So that can maybe sometimes be a stressor.
Yeah, and I don't know who that favors more, honestly. It could favor Jeff City. It could favor Capital City. I would lean that it does put the more pressure on Jefferson City because they were able to see the effects about what it did to them last year. So they already have that in the back of their head that could happen. But also on the flip side, that they've probably been preparing all week for this situation. And I would expect both teams to be pretty aggressive early on in this one. Not necessarily taking deep shots downfield like you might think in that sense, but maybe going for a few fourth and shorts in situations that they might not in other games, just to try and grab momentum, because momentum's so big in these matchups, and just kind of get that belief on the sideline, instill it in them early that this can be done, and kind of the coaching staff show the kids that they're willing to kind of risk it all to win a matchup like this.
So the big thing in games like this is you also want to have all hands on deck. I mean, you want to have them whenever you got a chance, but especially in games like this where, you know, there's probably going to be hard fought and you're going to be, you know, there'll be some good hits laid on everybody. So you want to be at your best health-wise. How are the Jays health-wise coming
back to full strength?
Okay.
Brody Smith, it will be playing tonight from everything I understand. He is back for – he'll still have the cast on his hand, but he will be able to club that and be starting on the offensive-defensive line. Not 100% sure what his snap count may look like. Knowing the kid, I would expect it to be pretty high.
Right.
And, I mean, that's just massive to get him back. He's so big. I've talked about it on this podcast. So big for their offense and their defense, being able to plug up holes on the defensive side and really just – create bus lanes for these running backs to run through. And Jaden LaViolette was kind of a question mark headed into last week's game at running back. He played the first half, came out of halftime without shoulder pads and in sweatpants, didn't play the rest of the game. But also, from everything I understand, he's going to be a go tonight, too.
All right. I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'll just ask you, Who wins this one and what's the score?
You know, I already mentioned I think this is about as 50-50 as games get. I would not be shocked either way. The only way I would be shocked in the outcome of this game is if it's a blowout one way or the other.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be really close. I think it's going to come down to the very end. But I'll go with what Tom said in the paper, 28-27 Jeff City.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.